Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and beginning with verse 35. Luke 18, 35. Praise God for his presence. Hallelujah. Luke 18, 35. One of the great miracles recorded in the Word of God. Luke chapter 18, we'll begin with verse 35. Go down through verse 43 this morning. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried, so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people which they saw it gave praise unto God. I'm focusing in on that 37th verse and preaching on the subject this morning. Jesus is passing by. Jesus is passing by. This occurrence in the Word of God as he comes close to Jericho, making his trip into Jericho. Jesus is really on a mission not to go to Jericho. He's just passing through Jericho for a greater destination. He's on his way to Jerusalem, some 17 miles away. And he makes the journey through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem because he knows he's got a plan to fulfill. He's going there, according to the scriptures, to suffer and die at Jerusalem. He passes through Jericho on a few occasions in your Bible that's recorded. We know that this is the final journey because when he gets to Jerusalem, he celebrates Passover, and then shortly after comes the crucifixion of Christ. So he's passing through Jericho, and this blind man is sitting there alongside the way. And there's some interesting things that caught my attention again as I've studied this in recent days, and some things I want to call your attention to as well. One thing is in verse 37. He hears the people passing by in the verse before that, but he knows something is going on. There's a commotion. There's a multitude that's passing by. Kind of like you today when people for no good reason at all just got up and started moving by. And you wonder, where are they going? Why are they walking the aisle? Why are they up out of their seat? Where are they going? See, where Jesus is at, lives that he's touched, you just can't stand still. You can't help it. I've pastored Bill Evans for years. I don't ever recall Bill Evans getting up out of his seat and coming down the aisle like he did this morning. But I think that goes hand in hand. The Lord was telling me, I'm passing by today, Cal. And before long, others are up doing the same thing. But can you imagine if you're sitting there in total darkness and blindness and you hear them moving, but you have no idea why that they're moving? And he would never have known that it was Jesus if it wasn't for verse 37. And they told him. Somebody told him Jesus is passing by. Now, if you're sitting here this morning wondering what all this commotion in this church is all about, can I tell you why you don't understand it? Spiritually, you're in blindness and you have no understanding. But some of us have come to tell you today, Jesus is passing by. We know why we're moving. We know why we're excited. We know why we're praising God, because we've had an encounter with Jesus Christ. So it's important that we not take for granted just because we've seen Jesus and we know Jesus, that doesn't mean that everyone knows Jesus and that everyone's seen Jesus. We have to tell them about Jesus. I hope you're not satisfied with your experience to say, I'll keep it to myself. But I hope you'll tell people. When you leave this place, I hope you'll tell them strange things is happening down there at Rubyville. I don't fully understand all of it, but occasionally Jesus comes by in a special way. I hope you'll tell them what it means to follow Jesus and how good that he is to you in your life. Somebody told him. But Jesus only passed through Jericho a few times. I don't have the exact number, and I can't tell you the exact number. Oh, I could count them in Scripture. He may have passed by on some other occasions that nothing was recorded. But there was a limited number of times that he passed by. Isn't that something? The God with all power limits himself. You do know that Christ has limitations. He goes where he wants, when he wants. He chooses what he does. He's in control, not us. I wish there was things that I could explain. I can't explain it to you. I don't fully understand it, but I know that he knows what he's doing, and I have to trust him. I have to trust him with what he's doing. At times in our life, we don't always know when he's going to come or the way he's going to come. But I do know he'll eventually pass by the last time. I don't know how many times he come through, but I know this was his last time passing by. What if you just experienced the last passing by of Jesus? What if he just walked by you for the final time today? We get concerned about people that come down with different sicknesses, diseases. I visit people every week in the hospital, that when I leave their room, I don't know that I'll ever see them again. On this earth, it could be the last time that I see them. And we know there's an urgency during that time, especially when they don't know the Lord. Elsie, I have a tremendous burden for you and your dear husband. It's terrible to watch cancer come into a person's body. But it's even worse to watch people go through sickness and not have an understanding that God in his mercy will come by. There will come a time that he'll not pass by anymore. You may not have cancer in your body. You may not be fighting a disease. You may not feel like you have days to live. Maybe a doctor hasn't looked you in the eye and said, unless things change, you've only got a month. But this could still be your last time for Jesus to pass by. I would hate to think, if I was here this morning with any kind of need in my life, knowing that the presence of the Lord is as strong as what his presence is here today, that I did not act while he passed by. Now the blind man, he couldn't see Jesus. And the blind man had no idea that was his last time passing by. In fact, the only one that really knew it was Jesus. But still, the blind man, not knowing that it was his last time, acted like it was his last opportunity. Because he started to cry aloud, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He thought this might be it. I may not have any more opportunities. I may not have any more chances. There may not be any more open doors. This could be it. Oh, you could live another 25 years. But that doesn't mean Jesus will ever pass by your way again. Where do we get this entitlement mentality? That I get saved when I want to get saved, and God will fit into my plan, and I've got it all figured out, and I'll serve God when I want to serve God, and I'll do for the Lord when I feel like doing for the Lord. The truth of the matter is, you may live another 25 years, but he may never pass by your way again. You may get your last call from Christ today. He is not obligated. You don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when you can. A lot of people have died lost wanting to be saved. Trust me, I've prayed with many of them. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. But still, they left with no testimony of the saving grace of God. Why? Because this is what happens. The devil will tell you later on, you've waited too long, you put it off. He'll put a barrier in your mind that'll hinder you from coming to Christ. You don't get saved when you want to. You get saved when you can. And I'm here to tell you, this morning Jesus is passing by and you can be saved. You can. But you'll have to feel like this is my last chance. This is my last hope. He was so determined to do that that the Bible even says he wouldn't let the crowd stop him. They rebuked him. Hold thy peace. Really, can I put it in country terms we can understand? They told him, be quiet. Now, it wasn't that he was too loud. I'm sure there was a commotion already. It wasn't that he was too loud. It's what he was saying. Thou son of David. That changed everything when he referred to Christ as the son of David, because that spot was reserved for one person, the Messiah. And isn't that something? They're following the Lord because of all the things that he's done, and they're excited about what all he's doing, but yet they're upset that he's calling Jesus Messiah. But you'll never be saved until you get that right. There's not many ways to be saved. There's one way to be saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And until you recognize him as the only way, your only hope, you cannot be saved. So they said, be quiet. And you know what he did? Much the more. Much the more. The louder they got, the louder he got. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, be quiet. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He's saying, I'm not going to let you stop me. I'm here to tell you, nobody in this world can stop you from getting to Jesus. If you want to get to Jesus, there's not a demon from hell that can stop you. There's not a person strong enough that can stop you. When you make your mind up to cry out to Jesus, nothing can stop you from getting to him. Cry much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Had he listened, to the crowd, had he paid attention to the world and stopped crying, Jesus knew he was there all along. Jesus knew he could heal him all along. But Jesus did not heal him until he wanted it. There are seasons in life And there are spiritual seasons in our life. I can't explain it. I've just experienced it, and you have too. There are seasons in the life of a church where the presence of Christ is so strong. And the Lord is wanting to do great things. But then it backs off. There are times when our unsaved loved ones get so close. And then suddenly they go into a dark place where nothing reaches them anymore. Why is that? Can I tell you why? Somebody stopped crying for Jesus to pass by. Somebody stopped shouting, "We're here, Lord. We need you. We want you. We can do nothing without you." He cried much the more. So today, that's what we're doing. Much the more. We're crying out. We're trying to tell you, Jesus is passing by.